Yukon River In-Season Salmon Management Teleconference. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to join us as we begin our discussions surrounding the management and future of Yukon River salmon. My name is Serena Alstrom, Executive Director of the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association, and it is my pleasure to serve as your host throughout this teleconference season. These calls are held on Tuesday from June through the end of August. Throughout the season, we will provide updates on Yukon River salmon run assessments, environmental conditions, research and monitoring efforts, and ongoing management activities. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all the new participants joining us today. We also encourage young fishers to participate in these calls to learn, engage, and become involved in Yukon River fisheries issues and management. These teleconferences provide an important opportunity for people from across the Yukon River to share observations, concerns, and local conditions. We encourage fishermen, tribal representatives, researchers, managers, and community members to actively participate. Your knowledge and experience help build a broader understanding of the challenges facing our salmon and river communities. I'd like to thank our funding partners, the Yukon River and Tribal Fish Commission and the Tanana Chiefs Conference, for their continued support in making these calls possible. For many years, these teleconferences have served as a communication bridge between local users and fishery managers across the 2,200 miles of the Yukon River. As salmon declines and changing river conditions continue to affect our communities, the need for open communication remains critical. However, the challenges we face today require more than information sharing alone. They require collaboration, problem solving, and action. Our goal is to ensure these calls remain a platform for meaningful discussion, actionable feedback, and collaborative solutions that can be shared with management agencies, organizations, and decision makers. By working together, we can identify practical opportunities to improve fishery management and support the long-term health of the Yukon River salmon. As we move through the 2026 season, I ask that all participants be respectful of one another. This is a space for constructive dialogue and shared learning. By listening to and supporting one another, we can foster productive conversations that benefit our fisheries and communities. So, Cleon, for your time and participation and commitment to the Yukon River. Our in-season subsistence salmon survey is currently underway. We thank the National Park Service and NOAA for funding the program this year. This year, the surveyors are using a digital app version of the program and hope to make it available to the public soon. We will update you when it is ready to download from the App Store. We want to encourage fishers in the in-season survey communities to reach out to their local surveyor and share what they are seeing on the river. This program is a way for fishers to anonymously share their observations as well as their concerns or challenges with the managers and the rest of the river. The in-season survey communities include Algonquin, Mountain Village, Marshall, Russian Mission, Anvik, Huslia, Ruby, Tanana, Fort Yukon, and Eagle. As always, just some housekeeping before we get started. Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press star 6 to mute and unmute. Background noise and conversations are disruptive to callers who are sharing important information. And as a reminder, we'll begin our community reporting from the headwaters in Canada and make our way down to the mouth of the Yukon River. I'd like to ask if there is any media on the line. Can you please announce yourself?
Doug Patsy Milano.
Welcome. Do we have any of our government representatives or staff members on the call today? Okay, we'll go ahead and move on to the Yukon Area Managers from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Do we have Bonnie or Matthew online?
Yes, this is Bonnie.
Hello, Bonnie, go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm the Yukon River Fall Season Research Biologist for the Alaskan Park Fish and Game, and I'm currently here in Amonik, weathering a storm. I will provide the initial fall season assessment. The fall chum salmon run size projections based on the summer to fall relationship through July 18th was estimated to be greater than 400,000 fall chum salmon and is above the preseason forecast. The projection is still below, well below the average fall chum salmon run size of 940,000 fish. We will be using in-season assessment to determine the run size and we'll watch the age classes as the run develops. As of August 2nd, the cumulative CPUE of Lower Yukon test fish remains below average. The first quarter point based on median run timing occurs on August 2nd, and the midpoint occurs on August 13th for the fall season chum salmon at this project. The main stem Yukon River sonar project, operated near pilot station, transitioned to fall season counts on July 19th. An initial pulse of fish moved through the main stem Yukon River sonar project between July 26th and the 30th. As of August 3rd, the cumulative passage is approximately 120,000 fall season chum salmon. This compares to a median cumulative passage of 202,000 fall season chum salmon for this date. The midpoint, based on median run timing, occurs on August 12th for the fall season chum salmon at this project. The first coho salmon was captured at the sonar site on July 29th. And so far, none have been captured in the Lower Yukon test fish. Coho salmon typically enter the Yukon River in mid-August, with the bulk of the run occurring between August 16th and the 27th at the main stem sonar operated near pilot station. The four stratum of chum salmon genetic samples from pilot station sonar test fishery collected from July 18th through August 2nd will be headed to the laboratory as soon as the weather allows. Once the samples are in the lab, I expect results the following week. We will provide genetic mixed stock assessment for the three main fall stock groups, the Upper Yukon U.S. stocks, the Canadian stocks, and the Panama fall stocks. Look for the results in the ADF&G Yukon River daily update for those who subscribe. The fall season chum salmon samples from the Lower Yukon test fish from July 16th through August 2nd have not been aged yet, as they are also on weather delay out of Amonik. Currently, the percentage of female chum salmon is 38%, which is below the historical average of 53%. The average length of these fish through August 2nd was 569 millimeters, which is below the historical 2001 to 25 historical average of 582 millimeters. Monitoring the escapement in the upper Yukon portion of the drainage within Alaska will be assessed with sonars operated on the Chajinjik and Shinjek rivers starting around August 8th. At the Eagle Sonar Project, the average transition date from Chinook to fall chum salmon monitoring is around August 20th. We will be using all of these in-river assessment monitoring projects along the migration route to determine if escapement will be achieved for the drainage-wide goal, as well as the goals for Chajinjik. And at the preliminary preseason run size projection, we do not expect the Canadian goals to be achieved for the Fishing Branch River and the main stem Yukon River at Eagle. As the fall chum salmon stocks are the latest component, the goal for the Delta River will be the last to be assessed. Water temperatures in the Yukon River at Amonik have been well below average for most of July and are currently running average for August. Water temperatures at the Eagle Sonar Project have also been lower than average most of the season and are just approaching average. Some high water came down the Yukon River from Canada. Currently, it is at average levels in the upper Yukon River within Alaska, but remains higher than average in the lower river around pilot stations. The Tanana River drainage system's water levels have been near average most of the season, but are dropping below average at this time. The cooler temperatures should be good for the salmon, and although the high water slows swimming speeds a little, the migration is moving on in the upper river to the spawning grounds. That's all I have. I'll be available later for questions, but Matt's going to cover the management strategies for fall season.
Yeah, thanks, Bonnie. Yeah, hi, everyone. My name is Matt Olson with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Yukon River Fall Season Manager. On the management front, obviously Bonnie just, got done telling us that, things are slow. And we're hoping to see some more wall chum starting to enter the river. Give us a little bit better look to see how the run is developing. Until then, we're still assessing. And then the current management actions, we're almost all the way up through the entire drainage, in terms of, districts that are now on fall season or have been announced. We have announced the start of fall season all the way up through District 5. And then District 6 will come out next week, announcing the start of the fall season and the initial management actions there. So just as a reminder, the initial fall actions were to close fall chum and coho fishing, and then 4-inch gill nets could be used district-wide on the noon Thursday to noon Sunday schedule, and the 6-inch gill net opportunity off the main stem river in those designated areas that salmon weren't known to be spawning or migrating through is open 24/7 in the districts that fall season has started in. Just want to reiterate for everyone that non-salmon fishing is open with selective gears, and that includes manned fish wheels. So in every district that fall season has started in, you can use your manned fish wheels in addition to other selective gears to fish for non-salmon 24/7. This is a reminder, the manned fish wheels, or the fish wheel need to be manned, so someone needs to be standing on it and watching it turn and directing all salmon, so Chinook and chum and coho, straight back into the water without them entering a live box or a dead box. That's about all I have for fall season management right now, but we'll continue to, watch the runs as they develop and see what sorts of opportunities we can provide. So, we stand by for questions. I think Dina might have a little bit of summer management or a little bit of a summer management update.
Hi, yeah, thanks, Matt. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Dina.
Yep, hi, thanks. This is Dina John with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the Yukon River Summer Season Fishery Manager. And just in addition to what Matt was laying out for fall season, where those actions have gone into place, there are still some summer season actions in place in the Tanana River. So in Subdistrict 6A in the Kantishna River and up into Subdistrict 6B in the Old Minto area, fishermen can still use manned fish wheels and retain summer chum salmon. However, while those wheels are in operation, they must be fish-friendly. They must have fish-friendly construction so that they're not injuring any king salmon that get into the wheels. And those wheels do have to be manned 24 hours a day if you're operating them. So when the wheel is spinning, someone needs to be on that wheel to release Chinook salmon alive. You can keep any non-salmon species and any summer chum salmon that you plan to retain. But if you're getting summer chum salmon in your wheel and they look like fish that you're not going to consume, then also let those go alive too. And then up in the personal use area, personal use fishing is still open for summer chum salmon, and you can only use dip nets and manned fish wheels. And they've got a couple more 42-hour periods per week, and those 42-hour periods per week will end on Wednesday, August the 12th. So everyone just be sure to check your schedules online, use the phone recordings, call the Fish and Game offices, and we can help to clarify things for your district as we do these transitions from the summer to fall season and kind of transition to some different priorities. Chinook salmon, while the run did come in around 100,000 at pilot station, that's still well below average, and we're not expecting to meet any goals for king salmon in any of the tributaries or at the U.S.-Canada border. We're still only getting kind of less than half of what we need for the border passage objective up going into Canada. So it's really important that all those kings get let go alive so they can get up to where they need to go and keep rebuilding this run, and hopefully we'll get even better returns in coming years. So I guess I'll turn it over to Fred for an update on summer season assessment projects. Thanks.
Yeah, hi, this is Fred. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Fred, yeah. So I'm Fred West, the summer season research biologist, and so just an update on a couple of different assessment projects we have left for summer season. For Eagle Sonar, we passed the third quarter point on August 1st. So while the run is below average, but it is larger than we've seen since 2019. So, but you know, the current projections are still indicating we won't meet the 71,000 border passes goal. And as Dina was saying, we're not gonna, most likely not gonna meet any of the other goals within Alaska. We'll let the Chinook all pass by. For the Chena River, as of August 3rd, they've counted 1,459 Chinook, which is below the historical cumulative average of 4,650. And the Chum are currently at 990 fish, which is below their median of 4,818. So, both of those runs are below average, but they are a little bit better than they have been in recent years. And then for the Salcha, as of the 3rd, the passage for Chinook is 1,872, which is below their average of 6,937. And for Chum, they're at just over 2,000 at 2,093, and their median as of this date would be 11,160. So, yeah. And for Eagle, the actual count is through yesterday was 26,818, or plus or minus about 300 fish, and they're normally would be up to the average would be about 40,806. So far it seems to be tracking like the upper end of the forecast. So we'll see how it shakes out with the last couple weeks of counts. The Ray Telemetry project, they were done tagging fish as of the 28th of July. But the tracking towers and aerial surveys are ongoing within both Alaska and Canada. So, if you do encounter a tagged fish, all the fish will be above the rapids area and moving into Canada. If you have any questions, you can call Josh Clark at 907-267-2217. Or myself at 907-267-2237. Anyway, and there's no new age comp information at this point, so that should be good enough for now. But I'll be hanging out for questions. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll now turn it over to the U.S. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Do we have Shane or Keith or Holly on the line?
Hi, Serena. This is Keith. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Keith.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Keith Heron. I'm the Assistant Fishery Manager for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the Yukon, and I don't have any other updates for everyone today. Thanks to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game staff for all the management and assessment updates. I look forward to hearing the community reports.
Great, thank you. We'll now turn it over to the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada. Do we have Jacqueline or Adam on the line?
Hi, Serena. This is Jacqueline Kendall. Am I coming through okay?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, perfect. I'll start us off here really quickly with a bit of a brief Canadian management update, and then we'll go to Adam. He's got a little bit more information in terms of stock assessment and environmental conditions. So we are still well within Chinook management in Canada. And there are no new management actions to report since last week or those that were indicated at preseason meetings. So it has been noted that the Canadian origin Chinook forecast has increased, but we are still not expecting to see border passage that exceeds the 71,000 rebuilding target. So because of that, the public angling, which is the Canadian recreational fishery, is going to remain closed, of course, and as the current, and as well, the current closures in the commercial and domestic, which is the non-Indigenous food fishery, will also remain closed. We are looking to the future in regards to chum when that season begins in Canada. Similar with Chinook, we are not anticipating that Canadian spawning objectives will be met. So the pre-season management actions that are in place will remain in place. And those are very similar to Chinook, in that the public angling fishery has been closed and will remain closed, and the commercial and domestic fisheries will also remain closed for the season. Unfortunately, I do have to jump off this call a little bit earlier than expected due to an appointment. So Adam is going to give his update and then remain on the call to take any questions. But if there's something that he can't address, I'm hoping that he can note it. And if it's okay, then I can try to address it at the next week call. So if Adam, you're ready, then take it over.
Yeah, thanks, Jacqueline. Adam O'Dell here, Senior Dock Assessment Biologist with Fisheries and Oceans Canada in Whitehorse. As Jacqueline said, I'll give a pretty quick stock assessment and environmental conditions update within the Canadian Yukon River. So we continue to have a DFO crew running the porcupine sonar just downstream of Old Crow, Yukon. This is a collaborative project with Wet'suwet'en First Nation. As of August 3rd, we've had an estimated 848 Chinook pass the site. This quite a bit higher than last year, where to date we had 315 Chinook pass in 2025, but compared to the project average of almost 1,900. So quite a bit more than recent years, but still quite a bit lower than what we have there for an average. As an operation here, we still have crew on site in Eagle supporting the delivery of the Eagle sonar project as well and helping out Alaska Department of Fish and Game with that critical assessment project. As folks, I'm sure, are aware, that camp's about 30 kilometers downstream of the U.S.-Canada border, so it's a pretty integral position and camp for estimating salmon passage into Canada each year. I have a number of additional projects that I can speak to. Some of these are run by Yukon First Nations, but before I advance with those, I have a couple notes prepared, but I'll just pause for a moment, and if any of the fisheries managers are on the call that would like to speak to them specifically as their projects, feel free. So I'll just pause a moment, and if no one's online to speak to those, I'll continue with a quick update on them as well. Okay, I'll continue on here. If someone does come online as I'm speaking, feel free to cut me off. So starting with the Klondike River sonar, this is run by Wet'suwet'en First Nation. It's in Dawson City, Yukon. They've seen an estimated 320 Chinook pass as of July 30th. This is almost about double what we've seen last year to date, which was 156, but then less than that project average of 899. The next assessment project going upstream is the Stewart River sonar. This is run by First Nation of Notchwanaik Dunn. It's its first year of operation, so we don't have an average or historical data to compare this one with, but as of August 3rd, there's been an estimated 1,300 Chinook pass this site. So the Pelly River sonar, this is run by Selkirk First Nation near Pelly Crossing, Yukon, has seen an estimated 3,050 Chinook passed as of August 3rd. And this compared with about 2,000 fish on this date last year in a project average of 3,400. The Nisutlin sonar, so this is getting pretty far up into the upper headwaters. This is run by Teslin Clinkit Council. They've had 230 Chinook pass the sonar site as of August 2nd, where this time last year they had just 72. And now I believe this is the fourth year of operation, the project average to date being 143. So lastly, the Whitehorse Fishway, which is in Whitehorse, now it allows fish passage of the hydroelectrical dam in town here. They have their first Chinook pass on July 25th, which is a little bit earlier than what we've seen in recent years. But as of the 29th, this is the only fish to have passed. A little bit behind there a few days, and I'm sure there's been maybe one or two more fish to pass since then, but I just don't have those numbers yet. And it is still very early in the season where the fish typically start passing the fishway right around early August. And there's a couple more projects that should be up and running in the very near future. Tikini River Sonar, with run by Coleman Dunn First Nation, should be operational here shortly. And is in addition, the Tatchin Creek Weir Video Project, which is run by Little Sam Carmex First Nation, should be running in the next week or so. And now, turning a bit of focus here to fall chum. We're still too early to see chum in Canada. But as the in-season projection was provided by ADFG a couple weeks ago, we also used that to provide an in-season projection for our two major stock groupings in Canada. So based on the stronger return of summer chum than forecast this year, we're projecting to see more fall chum than the preseason forecast as well. And this results in an updated projection of about 47,000 for the mainstem Canadian Yukon River chum stock grouping. So those are the fish passing Eagle. And then 19,000 for the Fishing Ranch River stock. Fishing Ranch River, one of the major chum spawning tributaries in the Porcupine River in Canada. So that's the assessment update. I have a very quick environmental update here to share, and then I can mute myself here and listen in. But water levels in most of the Yukon River, they are dropping, which is normal for this time of year, just following the earlier season melt. But they do remain within the normal ranges pretty much across the board. There's no monitoring locations that are below the normal range, only two being above. So things are pretty much right in that normal range for water levels. And water temperatures, there's a few monitoring or a few assessment sites that I spoke to just moments ago that do provide water temperature monitoring as well at the sites. And currently all of those that do monitor water temperature are showing between 12 and 16 degrees Celsius. So notably, none of these sites have produced a water temperature above 18 degrees this year, with the exception of the Porcupine, which had 2 days that were about a tenth of a degree above 18. So, I mean, the water temperature conditions have been fairly favorable this season for Chinook migration, and that's a bit of a positive sign. So that's the conclusion of my update. So I'll end it there, but I'll remain online for any questions that might come up. Thanks.
Thank you, Adam and Jacqueline, for your report. We'll now turn it over to the organizational reports. Do we have anyone from the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission online?
Yeah, Serena, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Serena.
Okay, thank you. Serena, everybody. My name is Craig Trifluck. I'm the Executive Director for the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission. We have just a few updates, and the most recent one, I think the staff of the Fish Commission had requested a work session from our Executive Council to just gather our territories together to talk a little bit about how the summer has been going, to get some territorial feedback, and just have some discussions and updates from our Executive Councils and thinking about next steps for this fall leading into the winter. I think the big main results that came out of that is We're looking to have a more official executive council meeting on the 24th of this month. Again, just looking to get more feedback directly from the communities through the executive council and the territories that they represent. And staff will be providing updates from our summer. Our commissioners will get updates from finances and just kind of initiating some conversations about some of the next steps and the progress that the Fish Commission staff and folks have been making since our May annual meeting earlier this spring. The other, I think, big announcements is that on our website, yritfc.org, we've got an artist call, Yukon River Community Art Initiative. We're offering, the website needs to be updated, but a $500 honorarium. What was asked and requested of the Fish Commission is that we continue to highlight and show culture and celebrate who we are in the art from the communities. And on our website, you can click a link that's a little bit, that shares a little bit more information, the designs, what we're looking for, salmon, other fish species, fishing, fish camp, traditional knowledge, stewardship, connection between people, river, and the fish, and the protection and the restorations of Yukon River fisheries. And we're offering a $500 honorarium. It's coming out of our comms work. So what we're really looking to do is continue to express and show like all of the beauty and the brilliance through art from the watershed on our socials and within our partner organizations. And other updated information that we have on the website, again, is looking at getting our more information about the Yukon Management Area Educational Fishing Permits, the customary and traditional harvest of salmon. There's information about the permits, and I know that there have been a few utilized already. Staff had spent some time earlier this summer in Nulato, this last week in Nenana, and then this upcoming cultural and educational permit in out of Gila Lake will have staff members there. So more to report on that once the trip reports and everything are finalized and ready for folks. Let's see here. One of the things that I had really forgot to mention last go around is regarding the response that the Fish Commission had drafted regarding the NOAA research letter, talking about ichthyophonus and other issues and concerns that were going on that maybe alluded to causes of conservation concerns for Chinook and otherwise. And we thought it was really important to continue to make the connections about the contradictions of restrictions within the watershed versus, you know, what's been happening, the other fisheries across the state or out in federal waters in the North Pacific and the Bering Sea Aleutian Island fishery. You know, we currently have Eva Dawn Burke. She's the co-chair of the Eastern Interior RAC, but she's also a contract worker with the Yukon River and Tribal Fish Commission as we transferred over from Tanana Chiefs. Down in Anchorage right now at the Federal Subsistence Board summer work session addressing some regional RACs, the Eastern Interior, Western Interior, and the YK Delta RACs earlier this summer had submitted some issues and concerns regarding the salmon crisis. And Eva's down helping out Charlie Wright, the chair, and just kind of representing one of the main concerns from that letter and kind of the position that the Fish Commission and a lot of our partner organization have consistently been taking and making. And a part of this letter, too, is a call to continue to make that connection between in river and open ocean and some of the disconnects in action, you know, like we have a subsistence priority within the watershed, but, you know, we have a lot of stocks getting intercepted along the way for other uses like commercial or sport. So that's what the letter is primarily about, and that's what Eva's down advocating in Anchorage right now for the FSV workshop happening today and tomorrow, virtually or in person. It's on Teams. And really continuing to discuss and uplift and champion the idea of a change in a governance structure and the inclusion of tribes' perspectives and collaborative management into the future. So I thought I had other points on my list here, but the RAC meetings, thinking about the regulatory announcements that the Fish Commission would like to share with people. I already mentioned that the Federal Subsistence Board work session currently happening in Anchorage today and tomorrow. Some really interesting conversations. The board members of the Federal Subsistence Board are making time to have facilitated discussion yesterday with the RAC chairs and co-chairs, and then having open public discussions today to follow up on the salmon crisis concerns amongst, you know, the Western Interior, Eastern Interior, all of the RACs, the YK Delta RAC, Seward Peninsula, Southeast, Bristol Bay. I heard Frank Woods and Gayla and others from Southwest down at that meeting. So that's happening today. And if you're looking for more information, Jasmine Vent, our communication director, has been doing a really great job at sharing how to connect and where to call in on our website and then on our social media. And I think a follow-up to that is we would like to point out that all of the regional advisory council meetings are coming up early October. So we've got Eastern Interior, 13th and 15th, Western Interior, RAC, the 6th and the 7th, YK Delta, October 27 and 29, and others. And most of those are going to be in the communities like Fort Yukon and Bethel. The Western will be here in Fairbanks, leading into a big fisheries discussion at the FSB the first part of February there. So I think the only other big things that we would like to share is we're finishing up some really interesting informational materials and outreach materials for people. The salmon situation report that's looking at making a gravel to gravel connection and some of the history of the fisheries within the watershed. Fairly technical document, but I think staff will be working really hard on breaking down kind of the history of the different fishery, like stocks of concern or the different fishing stocks within the watershed and how things have changed over time. It's a very technical piece that we'll work really hard on creating one pages and getting information out leading up to these regulatory meetings. And then a very similar but really important follow-up document is the status of salmon. It breaks how the fisheries have changed in the last couple few decades here in breaking down by species and tributary. So it's just a really good visual and explanation looking at how the fisheries have changed by region overall and by tributary. So we should be really hammering away, and I'm hoping that we can have some good high level drafts by that August 24th meeting. So if folks are interested in these types of materials, please feel free to reach out. But then also, you know, on our website or on our socials, we have information about what communities are in the different territories and who your commissioners might be and who your executive council members might be. So there's another really good point of contact to getting information about what the Fish Commission is up to. So I think that's kind of where I'll end it. I don't want to take up too much more time, but just the mixture of kind of continuing to stay busy. I will end with one of the discussions that we had today that's in the works, is looking on our socials and our website from our comms to start thinking about soliciting interviews and getting stories directly from watershed residents about how the summer has been going and thinking about how fishing happened and just kind of creating opportunities for us to share, like how the summer has gone, reflect on how this last year's regulatory season has gone and how everything is playing out. So that's all I have. I know it was really long and I apologize for that big, huge update, but just kind of getting caught up with all of the office stuff here. So thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it. We'll move on to BBAYK Coalition. Just a reminder to press star 6 to mute or unmute. Do we have anyone from the Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council online? How about the Council of Yukon First Nations? Yukon Salmon Subcommittee. Sounds like someone was trying to unmute. Okay, and I'll provide a statement at the end of the community level report before I open it up for discussion. We'll now dive into the community level reports. I'll be calling by district and we'll be starting in Canada. Do we have anyone from Old Crow, Dawson, Whitehorse, Mayo, Pelly Crossing, Carmax, or Teslin on the line? Moving on to District Y6 in Alaska, do we have anyone from Manly, Minto, Nanano, or Fairbanks? Okay, moving on to District Y5, Stevens Village, Beaver, Birch Creek, Fort Yukon, Chilkeetsik, Vinitai, Arctic Village, Circle, Eagle.
Hello?
Carly? Yes, Carlisa, go ahead.
Oh, hi, this is Carlisa Tremblay here in Fort Yukon. I'm the surveyor. I surveyed about four households, three of which are fishing. And they said that it was worse than last week due to weather and high or driftwood in the water. And but they've been catching whitefish, pike, and I think that's about it, they said. That's it, all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, calling on District Y5. We'll include Tana, Tana Rapids, Rampart, and Yukon River Bridge. I know Stan was online earlier. I'm not sure if he dropped off. Stan? Stan, Serena.
Hey, Serena, this is Stan.
Yes, go ahead, Stan.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to unmute that. Okay, Stan's Ray at Rampart Rapids. Water level has been steady and about medium height. The water temperature went down slightly at 58.6 Fahrenheit today on the surface. As of yesterday, there were only 3 fish camps from Canada to above Rampart Rapids with a person or people in them. Expect less camp life in the days to come, more talk of camps closing for the season. Bear Creek is our largest summer chum creek in the Rapids area, and it has been checked regularly for spawning beds and salmon each year, and it has seen 0 beds or fish since the chum crash years and years ago, and so far also for this year. Still none, no spawning beds or salmon seen in there as of 3 days ago. Still. TCC has donated some red salmon to people in Tanana, and some people have brought them to fish camp to process. So there's a little bit of activity in a couple of these camps because of that. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. We'll do a last call for District Y5. We'll move on to the Keokuk River. Do we have anyone from Huslia, Hughes, Ellicott, Alatna, or Bettles on the line? Just a reminder to press *6 to mute and unmute. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press *6 to unmute your line. We'll move on to District Y4, Anvik, Grayling, Caltag, Mulato, and Keokuk. We'll move on to District Y4 A and C. Do we have anyone from Galena or Ruby on the line? We'll move on to District Y3, Russian Mission, Holy Cross, and Shagluk. Again, just a reminder to press *6 to unmute. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press *6 to unmute your line. We'll move on to District Y2, Mountain Village, Pictus Point, St. Mary's Pilot Station, and Marshall. Snita, are you online?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hi, Serena. It's Nita. So I don't really have any much, but nobody's been fishing down here. The water's been stable and dropping, and there's not much drift on the river. Thank you.
Thank you for your report. Again, calling on District Y2 Mountain Village, Pictus Point, St. Mary's Pilot Station in Marshall. Call on District Y1, Noonan, Alakanak, Imanak, or Kotlik. We'll call on the coastal communities of Chiva, Cooper Bay, and Scammon Bay. Before I open it up for discussion or comments from anyone, I'd like to give a report from YRDFA. I've just returned from St. Mary's, been on the river pretty much the whole summer, but I'd just like to take this opportunity to speak about an issue that's often difficult to discuss. Throughout the summer, I've been hearing a lot of reports. I do get a lot of calls, a lot of feedback from a lot of people along the river about illegal fishing for salmon along the Yukon River. It's not a comfortable topic, but I believe it is one we need to address if we truly want to rebuild our salmon stocks. Before I begin, I want you guys to understand where I'm coming from. I grew up in St. Mary's and lived there until I was in my 30s. I have subsistence fished on the Yukon River my entire life. For more than 15 years, I have worked for my tribe, listening to the concerns, frustrations, and hopes of our people regarding Yukon River salmon. Like many of you, I understand what it means to provide for your family. I understand the importance of passing our way of life, our traditional knowledge, and our culture to our children and our grandchildren. Because of that, I have made the difficult decision not to fish when regulations require it. I don't do it because it's easy or because I always agree with management. I do it because I believe those sacrifices give our salmon the best chance to recover for future generations. Many people on this call do not trust management, and I understand why. There have been discussions over many years, decades, that have damaged this trust. We cannot ignore the mistakes of the past, and we should continue holding agencies accountable. But we also have to be honest with ourselves. The decline of our salmon cannot be blamed on one group alone. We can point fingers at management, commercial fisheries, bycatch, environmental changes, or illegal fishing. But recovery will not happen if each of us believes someone else is responsible while excusing our own actions. Every salmon taken when our stocks cannot support is one less salmon reaching the spawning grounds. So every decision matters. Sometimes we hear people say, "They're fishing, so why can't I?" Or, "It's my inherent right." And I understand those feelings. But if we make decisions based only on what others are doing, we become part of the problem we are trying to solve. Whether we agree with every regulation or not, we live under the laws of the United States and the state of Alaska. While we continue advocating for better management and greater local involvement, we also have a responsibility to work alongside those agencies to rebuild the resource we all depend on. When I hear reports of illegal salmon harvest during a time when every fish matters, it is discouraging. I think about the countless hours spent providing testimony. attending meetings, traveling throughout the Yukon River, and working with people who care deeply about these fish. I ask myself whether those efforts are enough, if we are not all willing to do our part. I have visited nearly every community on the Yukon River, including communities in Canada. Despite our differences, I have seen one thing everywhere. People love these salmon. I have seen the cheers of elders who remember when fish camps were full. I have seen parents worried about their children, that their children may never experience what they did growing up, from the mouth of the Yukon River to the headwaters. That grief is real. The Yukon River is enormous. It supports many communities, many cultures, different salmon species that do not travel to all parts of the river. Some communities have opportunities that others do not. Some have subsistence resources they can rely on. It is easy to let those differences create resentment, but resentment divides us. When we start thinking, they get to fish, so I should too, or they're protesting, so I'm going to fish anyway, we begin fighting each other instead of fighting for the salmon. Division is exactly what weakens our ability to influence management and protect our fisheries. Unity is our greatest strength. If we truly want our voices to matter, we have to show that we are willing to make the same sacrifices we ask of others. That means following the regulations, even when they are difficult. It means speaking honestly about illegal fishing instead of pretending it isn't happening. And it means working together with tribes, fishermen, state agencies, federal agencies, and our Canadian neighbors to rebuild these salmon runs. Our children and our grandchildren and those not yet born will not remember who won an argument about management. They will remember whether there were salmon to catch. That is the legacy we should choose today. Let's choose to stand together. Let's choose to protect what our ancestors entrusted to us. And let's make sure that the future generations and those yet to be born can stand on these same riverbanks that we all have and experience the joy, the pride, and the responsibility of harvesting our Yukon River salmon. I'd like to thank you for letting me make that statement today. I'll go ahead and open it up for any questions or discussion. Hearing none, I'd like to thank you all for your time today and participating in today's call. Please reach out to YRGFA, visit our website if you have anything you'd want to talk about or contribute. Really appreciate your time, Kleana, for your time today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Serena, for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank Serena.
Thank you very much, Serena, for that perspective. And it's really great to hear your leadership. And I really very much, myself and a lot of the other folks in the department really appreciate your leadership and your speaking out and your continued helming of YRGFA. It's been an organization that's been a great help to bring people together on the Yukon. And I'm so glad that you're doing the work that you're doing. Thanks.
Thanks, Dina.
I echo that too, Serena. Nice work. Thank you for being brave and speaking out.
Thank you, Holly.